8 to 44. As we continue our series on the study of the life of Elisha, serving our faithful God. The title of our message, God will not forget your labor in his name. God will not forget your labor in his name. 2 Kings chapter 4, verses 38 to 44. And Elisha came again to Gilgal, and there was a dearth in the land, and the sons of the prophets were sitting before him, and he said unto his servant, Set on the great pot and seethe pottage for the sons of the prophets. And one of them went out into the field to gather herbs, and found a wild vine, and gathered thereof wild gourds in his lap full, and came and spread them into the pot of pottage. They knew them not. So they poured out for the men to eat. And it came to pass, as they were eating of the pottage, that they cried out and said, O thou man of God, there is death in the pot. And they could not eat thereof. Bring meal. And he cast into the pot. And he said, Pour out for the people, that they may eat. And there was no harm in the pot. And there came a man from Baal Shalisha, and brought the man of God bread of the first fruits, 20 loaves of barley and full years of corn in the husks thereof. And he said, Give unto the people that they may eat. And his servitor said, What should I set before 100 men? And he said again, Give the people that they may eat. For thus saith the Lord, they shall eat and shall live thereof. So he set it before them, and they did eat and left thereof, according to the word of the Lord. Amen. God will not forget your labor of love in his name, is our text, title of our sermon. We are saved to serve. And our Lord Jesus Christ sets for us the example of servanthood when he taught in Matthew chapter 20, verses 25 to 28. What did Jesus say in Matthew chapter 20, verses 25 to 28? Ye know that the princes of the Gentiles exercise dominion over them, but they that are great exercise authority upon them. But it shall not be so among you, but whosoever will be great among you, let him be your minister, and whosoever will be chief among you, let him be your servant. Even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister, and to give his life a ransom for many. Our Lord Jesus says, Whosoever will be chief among you, let him be your servant. This can become forgotten words in the course of our service unto the Lord. Especially as a church progresses and grows, the servant mentality seems to be forgotten as church life tends to be caught up in a success, in position, in size race, that we lose sight of our primary calling as the followers of Christ. These are some things that we need to think and consider about as we go along in our service for the Lord. One pastor puts it, the celebrity syndrome, so present in our Christian thought and activities, just doesn't square with the attitudes and messages of Jesus. We have skidded into a pattern whereby celebrities and top dogs in our church life call the shots, and it is difficult to be a servant when you are used to telling others what to do. Isn't it true? Before we come to know God, our mentality right, towards life, towards authority is totally different. After we come to know God, it's totally different. And we realize that, you know, as God transforms you, right, your friends whom you know, you know, many years ago before you come to know Christ would possibly, obviously, see a change in your attitude, in a change in your approach to life. And the Lord wants us to think and consider, you know, that we are in a very precarious position as the people of God if we would move away, right, from imbibing the teachings of Christ and allow the things of the world to come in. In the body of Christ, there is one head. Jesus Christ is Lord of his body. Colossians 1:15-18 says that, "Who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature? For by him were all things created, that in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist. He is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence." We need to be reminded that Christ might have the preeminence. No human being, dare take that position. There was a man in the Bible called Diotrephes in 3 John, whom the Apostle John openly rebuked. Diotrephes, John wrote, "Loveth to have the preeminence among them." Diotrephes becomes a warning to anyone who desires to become the church boss. Whether, you know, you are a board member, whether you are a pastor, whether you are a teacher, whether you are a musician, whether you are a former officer of the church, whether you are a fellowship leader, no matter who, the Diotrephes mentality has no place in the body. Only Christ is the head, and all the rest of us are in the class Jesus spoke of in Matthew chapter 20, servants. And they're so important that we are reminded. So this pastor observed, he says, "You're probably saying, but there must be leadership to get the job done." "Yes, I agree," he observes, "but it must be servant-hearted leadership among all. You see, I'm not interested in which form of government you and your church may embrace, but only that one that everyone involved in that ministry, whether leaders or not, sees himself as one who serves, one who gives. It's the attitude that is most important, perhaps the finest model, except Christ himself, was the young Jew from Tarsus, who was radically transformed from being a strong-willed official in Judaism to a born servant of Jesus Christ, the Apostle Paul. What a remarkable change. What a remarkable man. You know, it is hard to be a servant. We prefer to be served. And often, a servant is not recognized. A servant is often treated as a servant. But we must not forget the privilege of servanthood in the kingdom of Christ. Two thoughts for our learning today: feeling used and unappreciated. Secondly, pride. Feeling used and unappreciated. 2 Kings chapter 4, verse 38. And Elisha came again to Gilgal, and there was a dearth in the land, and the sons of the prophets were sitting before him. And he said unto his servant, set on the great pot, and seethe a pottage for the sons of the prophets, because a famine came. Gehazi is told to cook, to get a pot of stew ready. Put on the large pot and boil the stew for the sons of the prophets. That was the instruction given to him from Elisha. Inadvertently, there were some poisonous plants which were mixed into the pot, and there was an outcry. Verse 39. And one went out into the field to gather herbs, and found a wild vine, and gathered their wild gourds in his lap full, and came and shred them into the pot of pottage, for they knew them not. So they poured out for the men to eat, and it came to pass, as they were eating of the pottage, they cried out, O men of God, there is death in the pot, there is poison. Suddenly they realized, and they could not eat of it. Then Elisha said, Bring the meal, and he cast it into the pot, and he said, pour out for the people, and that they may eat, and there was no harm in the pot. There's a lesson there that we want to learn as we look from a different angle today. We want to look from the point of view of the man called Gehazi. Gehazi. So this experienced pastor, he observed, he says that, serve others long enough and you will periodically dip into this valley as Gehazi did when he had done all the work. But Elisha got all the credit. The servant can't even make stew. How frustrated can one get? Unless I missed my guess, little embarrassment was added to the frustration. And Gehazi probably felt the sting of not being appreciated. Right? He was the one who go out there, get the pot done. I remember earlier, he was asked to run ahead of Elisha and the woman, and to go and place a staff upon the dead son, and nothing happened. It must be very frustrated for him, right, to be doing all this so-called menial task. You know, always being preempted by the prophet, even though he had done everything he had been told to do. And so he observed, this pastor. And it's interesting that, you know, while we were preparing this message, I was given, you know, a book that contains this exact, you know, this passage. And, you know, and he was sharing from this point of view. Then I said, hey, we didn't see it before, so let's share it. So it is with servants today. It is so easy to feel used and unappreciated. Do I write to you who serve behind the scenes in a ministry or a business? You work faithfully and diligently, yet the glory goes to another. Your effort makes someone else successful. How easy to feel resentful. He says, assistant directors, associate and assistant pastors, secretaries, administrators, internal personnel, all members of the I work hard, but because I'm not upfront, I never get into the credit club. He says, take heart. Our rewards, or our God rewards in secret, will not overlook, right, a commitment. As Hebrews 6 verse 10 says, for God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love which ye have showed toward his name, that ye have ministered to the saints and do minister. Right, this is a very great verse for those who feel used and unappreciated. And you realize that, you know, in the body of Christ, God put us and we are doing something for the Lord. And we have to realize that, you know, whatever that God has put our hands to do, we have to do so with a correct heart attitude. Very important. So easy to drift out and, you know, not understand what we are doing, right? To serve from our text. All the work that Elisha asked Gehazi to do, to observe, and how he simply be tempted to become discouraged at the menial task that he was asked to do. Well, what does God require of us when we are doing, serving something to the Lord, you know, in whatever area that the Lord has called us to do? Paul said, let a man so account of us as the ministers of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God, that it is required of stewards that a man be found faithful. And he says, but with me it is a very small thing that I should be judge of you, or of man's judgment. Yea, I judge not myself, for I know nothing by myself. Yet am I not hereby justified, but he that judges me is the Lord. And so in our service for the Lord, we have to always remember, right, that God looks at how we are serving Him, right? That we are serving Him with all our hearts, with all our soul, our mind, for His own glory. The Lord will reward. Therefore, judge nothing before the time, until the Lord come, who both will bring to light the hidden things of darkness and will make manifest the counsels of the hearts. And then shall every man have praise of God. And so the Apostle Paul is speaking of things that are done in God's name, that we do with the heart, right? And we must always remember, as servants, right? God says we are saved to serve. But how do we serve? It's so important that we understand what our service must be. And it's interesting that, you know, the word minister that the apostle used is also the word servant. And it's derived from a word picture that describes from two words, right? Under and a rower. Right? He is an under rower. Right? So who is the servant? The servant is described as someone who is in the lower level of a ship. You know, the olden times, for a ship to move, is the one, you need many, many slaves or servants, you know, to go and pull the oar and serve. That's how the ship moves. And the under rower is the one who, you know, use the strength, what we describe as lowly, poor, self-effacing, subservient, unprivileged coolie, laborer or server. That was what our Lord did when He came to serve the people. And the Apostle Paul is describing this lowly status of a diligent laborer, unprivileged slave, by his contribution as a rower, helps sail the boat. He is a servant belonging to Christ. Christ is his master. And here the Apostle Paul is using the word picture to describe this coolie who works for the kingdom of God. This work that the Apostle Paul did is in the founding of many churches throughout the Roman Empire was with great suffering. You know, each time something, a church is founded, he is either stoned or he is either whipped. You know, he has lost a part of himself in the end. And before I come to this illustration, right, we see from verses 42 to 44 another scenario. Right, they came to there came a man to them from Baal Shalisha and brought the man of God bread. So someone came and gave, you know, a lot of an offering of fruits, barley, corn, and they said, give to the people that they may eat. And so Elisha said to the Gehazi, go and serve. Then what did Gehazi said, what? Shall I set this before 100 men? Wow, I said, serious work, you know. Very, very strong, I said. Very tough. Right? Now we come to the illustration. Okay, there was a national rowing team of the country M that was trying to prove that they are able. It was agreed that each team was to be made up of 8 members. After months of intensive training, the race began. But country J won by 1 kilometer. And the people of country M were furious with the disappointing results. The management decided to win the race next year at all cost, or at any cost. And so they established a team of analysts to observe the situation and recommend an appropriate solution. After detailed analysis, the team observed that the J rowers had 7 rowers and 1 captain. The M team had 7 captains and 1 rower. Facing such crucial scenario, the management showed an unprecedented or unexpected wisdom. They hired a consulting company to restructure the M team. And after many months, the team consultants concluded that there are too many captains and too few rowers in the M team. A solution was proposed based on a brilliant analysis. The structure of the team must change immediately. As of today, there will only be 4 captains, 2 supervisors, 1 manager, and 1 rower. Besides this, they also suggested to improve the rower's working environment and give him higher competencies. Come next year, the J team won by 2 kilometers. The M team immediately removed the rower from the team based on his unsatisfactory performance. A bonus reward was paid to the management for excellent motivation they had shown during the preparation phase. The consulting company further prepared a new analysis, which showed that the strategy was good, the motivation satisfactory, but the tools had to be improved. So currently, the M team is designing a new boat. So imagine, you know, if you are in that race and no one is willing to labor, then no one is willing to row the boat. How would the boat move? You realize that, you know, when the Lord says that we are saved to serve, you know, sometimes we have a wrong picture of what service is. Our picture of service is like, you know, the servants, so-called servants of the world, which is totally different, right, from what Christ expects of his people. And so Gehazi was asked to serve 100 men. Again, a gigantic task for a single servant. It is easy to feel discouraged, to feel that they are the only one serving, and to be indulged in self-pity. The servant can face this, right? But the Lord tells us that, you know, when we served Him, it is not by our own strength. It is by the grace of God that we are able to serve Him, and we count ourselves privileged to be able, you know, to be given that task for service. And you know, our reward in heaven is great, right? Because God judges us not by what we do, by how faithful we do our work. And we need to be reminded. Another warning is in order. The second, pride. We are to keep in sight. Make a close watch for pride. God's true servants are like the Lord Jesus, who came not to be served, but to serve, to give His life a ransom for many. It is well observed, again, by an experienced pastor. He says, to serve means to give. Pride wants strokes. Lots of them. So when we serve, do we expect strokes from people? People to pat our back to say that, hey, you've done a good job. Oftentimes, you know, you won't get it. Oftentimes, you find that, you know, you're not even mentioned. No credit. No glory. Pride wants strokes. Lots of them. It loves to get credit, to be mentioned, to receive glory, to have people. He says, ideally, your superiors will be thoughtful people who will give you the credit you deserve. But unfortunately, that will not always occur. And your pride will need to be held in check at those tough times when you mix stew and someone else gets the strokes. Remember, your role is to serve and to give. Is it easy? Not easy. Not easy to be a servant. J. Oswald Sanders writes, he says, nothing is more distasteful to God than self-conceit. This first and fundamental sin, in essence, aims at dethroning self at the expense of God. Pride is a sin of whose presence its victim is least conscious. If we are honest, we measure ourselves by the life of our Lord who humbled himself, even death on the cross. We cannot but be overwhelmed with the tardiness and the shabbiness and even the vileness of our hearts. True love flows from authentic servants who does not keep record of who did what, and it does not look to others for credit. In other words, real servants stay conscious of the blindness pride can create. And so it's interesting, as we study the life of Elisha, we saw this man Gehazi coming along, and you know, there will be more stories as we look at the life of Elisha to help us to learn pertinent lessons how we can serve God. And God will not forget your labor in his name. May the Lord bless our service to the glory and honor of his blessed name. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we want to come before thee to acknowledge that we are unprofitable servants. And we thank thee for the privilege of service. O God, may thou help us to understand and be acquainted well with true servanthood as exemplified in the life of our Lord Jesus Christ. O Lord, may thou help us to look not to men, but to thee in our service, and that our service may be one, a humble service to the honor and glory of thy name. O Lord, we are weak. We are prone to pride. We are prone to weariness. May thou be merciful and gracious to grant us thy grace, that we may run this race and be victorious to cross the finishing line indeed and receive thy commendation, thou good and faithful servant. O Lord, may thou help us to serve thee according to thy word, and may our service indeed be fragrant and thy work be advanced from strength to strength. This I ask and pray with thanksgiving in Jesus' name. Amen.